Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Purple cover by Italian rock band Black Mamba. It's listed as a girls group, but they started with four ladies. Now the only two ladies in the band are Irma Mertilla and Cecilia Napo. And somehow Federico Maragoni, the only guy in the band, is the drummer. Lucky him. How did that happen? I'll have to send you a message and ask him how he got so lucky. But anyway, excellent song. If you're a motorsports lover and a Deep Purple fan, I've been using this one a lot because I'm trying to get them on the show, and they do put out some good tunes. They do have an album. You can go to their YouTube channel, Black Mamba Official or blackmamba.com, and get their new album. They got a couple new songs out, but they rock. That green, the guitarist and the bass player, and you heard of the two ladies, and they can bring it. Just as good as just about any of the big name guys out there in the particular bands. I think she can show Black, give Blackmore a run for his money. Anyway, NASCAR out in Atlanta. NHRA is off, but they'll be back this weekend going to the Gator Nationals. Of course, there was a big announcement they made and back in August, but they think they just went to elaborate on it now about the four wides, remember? Down in the G-Max Dragway in Atlanta. Well, they were just showing some of the newly redone track at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and they had this announcement. Any story today?
Welcome to the Wally Park Studio, delivered by Papa John's. Amanda Busick with Louis Bloom. And in August, it was announced that the four wides are headed to Vegas. Las Vegas Motorsports at the Strip is going to become a four wide, and there have been updates from that ever since. So let's go to the director of racing operations at the track, Jeff Foster, who is sitting behind the track right now, correct?
Yeah, I'm actually looking right down the lane from my monitor position in the tower.
And, Jeff, we've seen some updates on Twitter. You guys just put the rubber down on the last two lanes?
We've been working with all four of the lanes. Lanes one and two have been pretty much to the point where we could prep it for a race about 4 days ago. So this week we started on lanes three and four, and I have those getting real close. By the end of next week, we'll have the rubber all down the track to be ready to prep for a race. Timing system will be in next week. So it's ready by next Friday.
So when the decision was made to go four wide, how many man hours and women hours have gone into the actual completion of that four wide extra?
Wow, I haven't really calculated the total hours, but we got the word that it was going to start prior to our fall Toyota National. So anyone here in October for the race saw a lot of the construction had already started. We had taken it down to subgrade level for lane three and four. We'd extended the tunnel underneath the track.
And Jeff, we're just 5 weeks away from heading to your facility. What have you noticed from the fan entrance?
Unbelievable. The regular drag race fan, there is some kickback at times, but once you talk to them and explain how things are going to work and how nice the facility has been updated for because of this, they get on board. Ticket sales are really going great. One of the biggest spring races in probably 10 to 12 years.
Wow.
If people are wanting a reserve seat, they better buy it fast because there is a chance that the reserve section might sell out.
So, Jeff, I know that you worked for Bob Brockmeyer from CompuLink years ago. What's it like to put together the timing system for a four-wide drag strip? I know you would know the answer.
Well, it's pretty complex. When we did it 8 years ago for D-Max, everybody told us it couldn't happen. We made it happen. Well, now with the two track, Bob and I have been in communication, and we're changing some things and upgrading it. And it's a massive undertaking. Poor Bob has been trying to get everything built and ready because the Christmas trees are one-up tile trees. They're not like the standard trees, so there's a lot in depth. Plus, you're wiring two races.
One thing I heard about is that they're going to run four at a time, double A fuel alters at the Vegas race. You know, I'm like so excited I can't believe it. And that is going to be something to watch.
That's
you don't want to miss it.
Yes, and we're also, along with the four wide fuel alters, we're doing a demonstration exhibition of four wide big tire and four wide small tire no time.
Wow.
So
nice.
We have a bunch of wild cars go down the track.
That's really cool.
I think Brian Lowndes will be really excited.
Yeah, Brian Lowndes. I don't know if Graham Light will be so happy,
yeah,
but
that's quite a Brian Valley.
All right, Jeff. Well, if I'm someone looking for reserves before they go, where can I find tickets to LVMS?
Go on LVMS.com, or if you prefer the old-fashioned telephone method, 1-800-644-4444.
All right. The strip goes. I think I said earlier, Viva, 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 Viva Las Vegas.
That's four. Hey, Jeff, thanks. Congratulations on the hard work. I know that was a lot of effort, and we all appreciate it. I'm looking forward to the next four wide. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's been real interesting watching it come together.
All right, guys, and make sure to head up our website, NHRA.com. You can read all about the four wides going to Vegas and stay right here on NHRA.com for all things drag racing.
And there you have it, four wide in April 6th through 8th, 1 month away from today at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, the Strip. I'm closer to the Charlotte one. Do I want to go to the Vegas one? I'll have to reach out to my friend Jenny Haraldson, who actually works out there as a driving instructor at Vegas and Spring Mountain Motorsports. Jenny, you'll have to check that out and let me know how it is. But anyway, NHRA back in action this weekend. Out at the Gator Nationals in Gainesville, Florida. So a week off of drag racing makes it for an easy weekend for me because I don't have to watch NASCAR instead of having to watch NASCAR and NHRA as well as now Monster Jam. As a matter of fact, last week's guest, Cynthia Gauthier, was out in Tucson, and won the event. So congratulations to Cynthia. It's something now. She was just on the show, and all of a sudden she wins the event. Make sure to call in right before every event. Cynthia, if you're listening, might be something you might want to do. Give us a preview of your next event, and who knows, maybe you'll win overall. But it's good to see Cynthia take home the trophy. If you want to find it, you can see it on, I think I sent it to Facebook. Anyway, here's your NHRA points leaders. We'll start with Top Fuel and work our way down the Pro Stock Motorcycle. Steve Torrance leads the batch over Doug Toledo with a 39 points. Tony Schumacher is third. Scott Palmer, fourth, Antron Brown, fifth. Clay Milliken, sixth. Antron Brown was actually out in Atlanta, so we'll have some tape of him talking to the NASCAR crowd because he got to be in the Grand Marshal and all, so we'll get to that in a little bit. Clay Milliken, sixth. Leah Pritchett, seventh. Brittany Force, 97 back. Eighth place. Billy Torrance in ninth. Greg Carrillo is in 10th. Considering Brittany had a rough first week and then a rough second week, she's still in it. So she made this run a little later. Watch her to climb the ladder. In Funny Car, of course, John having that nasty wreck out in Phoenix. And but he's doing okay. He'll be back in the car next time around. If he's up and talking, he's fine. As long as nothing, no bones are broke, he'll be back in the car. That's the second time. I mean, his car blew up in week one and then hit the wall, or blew up and then hit the wall and then took out Johnny Lindbergh in week two. So John not having a good year, but their cars always run good, so we'll see what happens. I'm still trying to get one of them on the show, preferably Brittany or Robert, because they did take home the title. But we're looking for Courtney or John as well. Anyway, Matt Hagan does lead the Funny Car points with a 19-point lead over last week's winner. Or Phoenix winner, I should say. Courtney Force, who got back in the car and with some support from her team and her sister, got her to do it, and her dad, actually, to get it done. And she got it done, so she's only 19 points back in the Funny Car. So imagine if she comes on to win Funny Car this year. With Brittany winning last year in Top Fuel, that ought to be something. I mean, of course, it'll take the starch out of it, but if Brittany could win Top Fuel and Courtney could win Funny Car, and then we can get Erica winning Pro Stock, have a ladies rule in the NHRA. But it's a tough battle. But Courtney, number two. Ronnie Capps, number three. Robert Height, defending champ. He's in fourth, 46 back. Tommy Johnson Jr., who was the one that lost to Courtney in the final, was fifth. Jack Beckman, sixth. Tommy Johnson Jr. and Ronnie Capps used to drive for the same team, Don Prudhomme, and I had the pleasure of interviewing them both way back in the day at the motorsports show in, then it was Norristown, no, Fort Washington, which is close by. And they were driving for the Snake. Skoll was their sponsor, and they got invited into the exhibit truck. It's kind of like the car hauler at NASCAR, only it's not designed for, I guess they had a race car in, but I didn't think of that at all. The engineering gizmos that they do at the track. They got the tour of the Castrol GTX John Force pits at Englishtown. Englishtown is no more, sad to say. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, Jack Beckman, Fast Jack, sixth. Johnny Lindbergh, seventh. Sean Langdon in Funny Car for the first time after being Top Fuel champ. Of course, driving for Kalitta. He's in eighth. J.R. Todd is ninth. And Cruz Pedregon rounding out the top 10 at 97 points back. But you got a close battle behind him. You got John Force, 99 back in 11th. And Tim Wilkerson tied as well, 99 back. 116 back in 13th. Tied with Bob Tasca, who's in 14th at 116 back. I don't want to usually go this deep, but and they are still within striking distance of that top 10, but can he, they get to make it? That's a tough call because if they're not running the full season or don't make an event, it kind of takes the starch out of them. the year. I reckon Enders won her first championship. She missed a couple of races, but that was just before the countdown. And it's hard to miss the U.S. Nationals. But anyway, that being said, on to the pro stock of standings. Jason Lyne. Kramer, who had a good run last time out. He's 41 back. Chris McGahey, who did win over Jason Lyne last time, is in third. 43 back. Bo Butner, 46 back. Fifth place, Alex Laughlin, 59 back. Two behind him, our pal Erica, in sixth. She can take the fifth spot from her teammate. And at least she's 15 ahead of Greg Anderson, the one who didn't want to be that guy when she was going for her first win. But he was that guy, and he took some heat for it. I even gave him some heat for it. Anyway, eighth place, Drew Skillman. Ninth, Vincent Nobile. 98 back and 111 back, Jeg Coughlin Jr. Of course, Erica's other two teammates. Tanner Gray, who was in the running up till the end of the year last year, well, is in 11th, so and he's 20 back out of 10th. That's one round of racing, but it might be tough to take on. Schedule coming up. Not this weekend, but next weekend, the March 15th through the 18th, the Gator Nationals at Gainesville Raceway in Gainesville, Florida. And then after that, they're off again until April 6th for the Denso Spark Plugs NHRA 4-Wide Nationals in the Strip at Las Vegas. That makes only the second event. That's a 4-wide. The other one, of course, being at ZMAX in Charlotte. Both tracks are Bruton Smith tracks, so they got something going there. I will get to a 4-wide Nationals. It's on my bucket list. Which one now? I'm not sure, because the one in Charlotte is the first event. Matter of fact, 2 weeks later. You got April 6th. No. Take that back. 3 weeks later. 2 weeks later is the Spring Nationals at Baytown, Texas. I guess that's outside of Houston. And then you go down to Charlotte for the 4-wides. And I'm looking at in June 8th through the 10th, which used to be in the English Town zone, English Town ceasing operations of NHRA drag racing. Virginia Motorsports Park is picking up the event at the Boydton Plank Road, North Dinwiddie, Virginia, 8018. So the Virginia Motorsports Park, I thought that was closer to me than it actually is, but it isn't. And then, of course, June 15th through 17th, Thunder Valley Nationals down in Bristol. I got to start getting some of these down here, especially in Bristol. That's right down the road, literally right down the road. Or at least Maple Grove still has an NHRA event, and that is in the countdown. So the Dodge NHRA Nationals, that was... It's in Monson, PA, which is just outside of Reading. Everybody calls it Reading, so that's where that's at. Anyway, on to race weekend in Atlanta. I was picked a Ford last week, but unfortunately, it wasn't the right one. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Actually, all three manufacturers picked up a win this weekend. therefore, they have nothing to complain about. Take a look at that. Kyle Busch, Friday, taking the checkered flag, led 6 times for 55 laps in the 134-lap event. Johnny Sauter takes the second spot. He didn't lead at all, but driving for Allegiant. Brett Moffitt was third. Grant Enfinger, fourth. Stuart Friesen, fifth. Dalton Sargent, sixth, who was in ARCA last year. He's never a rookie candidate. Ben Rhodes, seventh. Cody Coughlin, eighth. Ninth, Justin Fontaine. Austin Hill rounds out the top 10. With the win, it was Kyle Busch's 50th Camping World Truck Series victory. There were 5 cautions for 25 laps. 14 lead changes amongst 7 drivers. The race took a whopping 1 hour 38 minutes. So it was a quickie. Average speed, 122.665 margin of victory, half a second. So it was a pretty close race, half a second. Well, that's five lengths, 1 length per tenth of a second. So Kyle Busch gets the win for Toyota. And here's Kyle talking about his Truck Series win, number 50.
Town hero. Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Caramel Toyota. Kyle has a win here in 2009 in the Monster Energy Series and in 2016 in Xfinity. This weekend, he'll be running all 3 races, starting tonight. NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race does have some track time. The only one I think in here so far that does this weekend. Maybe talk about yesterday's practice and how the weekend looks.
It was pretty windy yesterday, and it's only going to get windier. So, it's certainly kind of the topic of the day, I think, for many of us and what the on-track conditions are going to be like. But other than that, you know, pretty good to be here in Vegas and good to have an opportunity to get back at the home track and run the triple here this weekend. We've talked about it for a long time, ever since the announcement last summer of the chances of coming out here and being able to run for 2 triple weekends in Las Vegas in 2018. I'm looking forward to being able to have the opportunity to run the first triple here this weekend. Hopefully be able to go out there and get it accomplished and set that to the side and get a good weekend for us and get some good notes built up for when we come back here for Chase Bend.
Questions for Kyle? Please raise your hand. Mike.
There you have Kyle Busch. We don't need no questions from the media. Anyway, of course, Kyle taking the win. In the Xfinity Series, Kyle Larson in a Chevrolet. So we have Toyota on Friday, Chevrolet winning on Saturday. Kyle Larson started second and finished ahead of Christopher Bell, who started on the pole. Margin of victory was pretty close, almost a full second, but Larson pretty much dominated the race. He led 6 times for 142 of the 200 laps. Your second biggest lap leader was Ryan Blaney in the 22 Ford for 33 laps, and he led 1, so that was 1 stretch there. Christopher Bell, Rookie of the Year candidate, moving up from the Truck Series into number 20. Which is a Joe Gibbs car, did win stage 1, gets credited with 1 playoff point. Justin Allgaier was third. Ryan Blaney said the led the second most laps, was fourth. Elliott Sadler was fifth. Daniel Hemric, sixth. Seventh, Brandon Jones. Eighth is Tyler Reddick. Ninth, Cole Custer. Spencer Gallagher finishes 10th. With Larson's win, it was his ninth Xfinity Series victory. Six cautions for 29 laps. Like I said, a fairly clean race each. And you've got to count two of those cautions as stage enders. So I don't really count them as legitimate cautions. They're more like intermissions. I said, I think they ought to come out with something different instead of calling it a caution, call it an intermission. Kenny Wallace and I talked about having an intermission when the races got, especially because a lot of races were getting boring. But there were 10 lead changes amongst six drivers. That being said, we do have our winner, the race-winning team with Kyle Larson, Owen Larson, and crew chief Mike Shiplett. I wonder who Owen Larson is. The last name is spelled the same, so I know they're related. Maybe it's his dad.
Oh, I got Owen.
Or his
That's
kid.
Awesome. He did. And he's here with us right now, the winner of the 22nd
it's
annual Boyd game. Driver of the number 42 DC Solar Chevrolet, and that's Kyle Larson with crew chief Mike Shiplett and son Owen. We'll start with you, Kyle. Clearly, you could race through the field pretty easy. We saw that, I think, was stage two and final stage, and a great battle with Christopher there in stage one. So maybe just take us through the race and how it feels to come out as the victor.
Yeah, our race was really good. The first run, I think on scuff, we were just really, really tight loading into the corner and a little bit tight on exit as well. And you had a lot of fun with Christopher racing. He was able to beat me there at the end to win the stage. But I figured once we got stickers on, I'd be better, which we were. And we kept adjusting on all races. I still, I fought, a tight issue the first, two stages, but it seemed like once we got into the third stage, we were really good. A little bit tight there, I think, that first run we had. And then we had that bad pit stop, and that's really when our car got better. And I was able to go from eighth to the lead, I don't know, in 15 laps or so. And, I was actually pretty loose, which I liked because I could be more aggressive. So we were able to get the lead there. And then, if it was going to go green at the end there, I was, going to be a little short on fuel. So I just started saving as much fuel as I could, and felt like we'd be good to get to the checkered. And then we had the caution and lost a spot on pit road to Reddick there, and then had a couple really good restarts there at the end with some good pushes from Bell to get to the lead, and then Allgaier to maintain the lead. So got to thank those two for helping get us to the lead. But Shiplett and all the guys built an amazing race car. It was neat to get DC Solar their first victory here in the Xfinity Series, so happy about that, and just really thrilled with just how fast our car was all weekend.
And Mike, from your vantage point, take us through the race from the top of the box.
Just kind of like how Kyle said, we were fighting a tight condition. We tried working on it with air pressure so we didn't lose any time on the pit stops. The way with the person down this year, one less person on pit road, it takes a little bit longer to make adjustments. So we had a couple of mistakes on pit road. We had Jack Mann fall one time, and then we had a tire get caught in the left rear. But that last one, we made a big adjustment. We knew it was going to take a little bit longer, but we felt if we got the car right for Kyle, he'd be able to do the rest, and that's what we did there.
Thank you, Mike. Kyle, any questions for
him? And there you have Kyle Larson, his son, and crew chief Owen Larson. I thought it was a relative somehow. I didn't realize it was his kid. And he knew Christopher Bell finished second. That's the one part, the moderator didn't quite get. But anyway, Sunday all kicked off. Actually, Antron Brown wasn't the Grand Marshal. He was the pace car driver, Dylan McDermott, who's in a new TV show. Seems kind of funny. I haven't watched it, but he was the Grand Marshal. We got some words from him kicking off Sunday pre-race.
Okay, if I could have everyone's attention here in the deadline room. We have with us now our Grand Marshal, Golden Globe winner and Emmy nominee who, pardon the pun, came from L.A. to Vegas to be our Grand Marshal today. So Dylan McDermott is with us, and your first NASCAR experience. You've been here for about an hour or so. What do you think?
I love it. I want to live here. It's what a great world. I'm so impressed by it. So you think I could race a car?
We can probably arrange that. Maybe not today, but
all right.
We can probably arrange that for you.
I'm good with that.
Well, and you got you're on Fox with a new show, and
that's
tell
right.
Everybody a little bit about that as far as the reason why you're here.
Yeah, L.A. to Vegas, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. on Fox. You can watch it on Hulu or Fox Now, and it's all about the airlines and how painful that is for all of us, each and every time. So we have a lot of laughs at the airline expense, and I play Captain Dave, who is a throwback to another generation. And we have a blast. So the new show coming out on Tuesday.
Any questions for our Grand Marshal here, Dylan McDermott? Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires on NPRN. Your show about airlines. What kind of research did you do to come up with the topics that y'all talk about on the show? Because we experience this every week.
Sure. The only research I really did was on my mustache. I looked at Burt Reynolds, I looked at Tom Selleck, and Paul Newman, and I kind of made this kind of mix of all this. But, you know, you look at Tom Selleck, he has the best mustache ever, and that was really the only research I did.
And there you have Dylan McDermott. Following that is driver Antron Brown, also the host of Top Gear America, or one of the hosts, actually. So here's some words from Antron on getting to drive the pace car.
Okay, everyone, we've got with us our three-time NHRA Top Fuel World Champion and also our celebrity pace car driver for the day, and one of my favorite guys I've ever met in the racing world, Antron Brown with us. Antron, welcome to Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Jeff, you know, this is like home to me, man. I'm here on circle track races. I'm here twice a year on. We got 4-wide going on over there next month. And I tell you what, man, this is a lot of excitement. I mean, this is just an honor for me to be out here, definitely coming out here, driving the pace car. But the one bad thing is they got a brother on cruise control at 45. That ain't no good. You know what I mean? They figure they slow me down so I can learn how to turn left. But trust me, a wise man always told me, I was saying it all day, if you see a wall, you got to turn some way. And when I drive a drag strip, that's what we do. We say off the wall. So we got to turn left and right. But I'm just real energy. I mean, it's cool to be out here with some of our counterparts and our racing brothers and sisters in NASCAR. I got to see a whole bunch of my friends that we mingle with, especially all the Toyota family, but some of my other friends, like, you know, just to see Bubba Wallace doing his thing now, man, and coming up. I remember him when he first started. And seeing, like, Daniel Suarez did a couple things turning left with him a couple times with the Revolution Racing when he was his first starting. So to come out here and see, just to see them do their craft today, and I don't have to do nothing but watch. That's the cool part about it. So I'm going to really enjoy myself today and take it all in and just keep them on pace. You know what I mean? I never knew how important a pace car driver was, but you got to keep them to 45 so they can get their speed. So if they come in here and they start breaking pit lane, no, it was my fault because I took them too fast around the course.
We don't want that to happen. And you also got a chance to go over and check out the new 4-wide drag strip that we'll be debuting in April. What do you think of what you've seen over there?
I got to go over there on Friday before the Xfinity race took place, and I went over there And drag race was a little different, you know what I mean, where I went over and I laid down the racetrack. See, what we do is we lay down, we look down the track to see how smooth it's going to be. And I can tell you it's probably going to be the smoothest racetrack we ever drove down. We ain't going to feel no bumps. And I'm pretty excited about seeing all four lanes already grinded in. They got some rubber on them already by dragging it. And I'm pretty excited to get out here for four wide and be coming up with all kind of different schemes in my head because it's a different race for us. It's a battle royal. You can't just go up there and say, well, I'm racing Tony. So Tony likes to do this, so I can do that. Well, you're racing two additional competitors, and you got to go up there and you got to be smart, and you got to kind of go up there and throw it out the door, and there's no more games. It's like you'll get blows from every side, and the trick to four wide to winning it, we won it a few times, is you got to be off the gun first. Got to be off the gun first because you can't make it up because you're just not worried about the person on the side. You got the mother two jokers over there trying to take your lunch money, man. I tell you what, brother likes to eat. And we're going to go out there and do what we do. And the coolest part, we're bringing it to the West Coast. We always done it on the East Coast in Charlotte, but now we got here in Vegas, so we get to share a little bit of that love. This is old school. Used to do it in Orange County back in the 60s. Four wide ain't something new. It's something that's from the old school where you're bringing it back out for the people just to experience. When you got 44,000 horsepower, stepping on the gas pedal at the same time is ridiculous. All of Vegas is going to think it's an earthquake. It's just us in town. It's okay. We'll sell car alarms. We'll rattle some people's houses. The water will drop a little bit. I mean, I'm telling you what, it's going to be incredible, and I can't believe that it's coming up in less than a month, and I can't wait to get back out here to get to it.
Well, we're looking forward to having you. Questions? We got a question right over here.
Antron, not only are you driving the pace car around here, I hear that there's a chance that you might be moving out to the dirt for a weekend racing the Mint 400.
Oh, absolutely, CJ. And I'm going back to my roots. You know I'm an old motocross guy. I grew up racing motocross. So the coolest part is, and it gets no better going out to the Mint. It's still so good to go back out to the Mint because I get to go back out to the dirt with a roll cage. You know what I mean? No more flipping over the bars or endoing or doing that through whoops. And I got to test this last week, and it was a blast. So I get to come back out here in Vegas and do the Mint. But I still know how I want to do because I never drove for 130 miles. I'm doing one lap. 130 miles, that's a long time for me to keep my attention. That's why all my races are short and sweet. And I ain't got the skill. But I start, like, dazing off and doing different things and doodling and looking up, looking over, and I might end up in a ditch off a cliff. The straight part is going to be easy. Like, going through the whoops, hammer down, I could jump. I could do a lot of things. Is keeping my attention span for that long, and I don't get tired and worn out. It's going to be a challenge, but we're going to make fun of it, man. And I have a great deal of respect for what you do and what you do out there too, bro. So I'm going to endure what you do before a long time. Now let me tell you something. I'm going down the dirt. Brother can't get much dirtier. You know that, right?
That's why you got the microphone.
Hey, I got Steve-O doing it with me, Steve Torrance. And you know he's Buck Wild from Kilgore, Texas. And he likes to ride a little dirt bike stuff too. And I laughed at him. He goes, A.B., what you laughing at? I said, brother, by the end of your 130, brother, you're going to be chocolater than me, man. It's going to be the most funniest thing in the world. Have that brown stash, brown eyebrows, dirt all up your nose. He ain't used to that. See, I'm used to that. I know how to deal with that. He doesn't.
You'd be breathing dirt and nitro.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Any other questions for Antron?
There you have Antron Brown with a couple of comments and some questions. I could have played the whole thing, but we're getting close to running out of time, and we have to talk about the Cup race. Of course, I picked Brad Keselowski last week. Little did I know, it was a Ford. Okay, I got that part right, but I got the wrong Ford. I should have went with Happy Harvick, but then he just won Atlanta. I didn't think he was going to pull two in a row, but guess what? He did five times, 214 laps led, taking his second Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series win out at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So 2 mile and a half, first one Atlanta, this now Las Vegas, and we're going to Phoenix, which is a track he pretty much dominates at anyway, going for three in a row, but 267 laps, holding off Kyle Busch. Margin of victory was 2.9 seconds. It wasn't even close. The late restart after pit stops, a little strategy play in there. Harvick wins both stages. Actually, stage one, stage two, and taking the black and white checkered flag. So he gets max bonus points for a total of seven and a couple of playoff points on top of that as well. So Kyle Busch in the second spot. Of course, he took the win in the truck series on Friday. So you had Toyota win Friday, Kyle Larson in a Chevy win Saturday, and Kevin Harvick in a Ford win Sunday. No weekend, no podium sweeps this week because you had all three manufacturers 1, 2, and 3. Harvick in a Ford 1, Kyle Busch in a Toyota 2, and of course, Kyle Larson in a Chevy 3. So basically, Friday and Saturday's winner finished second and third behind Harvick. Mile and a half, Marty Truex in the fourth spot. Led only six laps one time. Ryan Blaney started from the pole, took the fifth spot. Teammate Brad Keselowski was sixth, Joey Logano seventh. So you had all three Penske cars in the top 10, 5, 6, and 7. And then you had Eric Jones in eighth and ninth, Paul Menard, 10th, Eric Amarola. You have Ford, Toyota, Chevy, Toyota, Ford, 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 Toyota, Ford, Ford. So Ford kicking butt this year. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of the top 10 spots are Fords. Wow. Jimmy Johnson wound up 11th, 12th. There were actually only 9 cars on the lead lap. That's how thinker this one was, even with the stages, so that goes to show you just because they bunched up the field, it didn't matter. It was 4 cautions for 29 laps. That's hardly any. 2 of those, of course, end of the stage. Eleven lead changes amongst 6 drivers. It was Harvick's 39th victory in 613 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series events. His second top 10 in 2018. His second victory in 8th top 10 in 18 races at Las Vegas. Of course, Kyle Busch, who finished second, posted his 7th top 10 in 14 races at Las Vegas. He did get one win there. He was looking for another. Kurt Busch, who was running pretty good, cut loose and wound up gathering up Chase Elliott. He was running well. And, of course, Kurt Busch looking for his first win there. And the highest finishing rookie was Darrell Wallace Jr. And Harvick has become the 4th driver in NASCAR National Series history to win 100 or more combined national wins, joining Richard Petty, Kyle Busch, and David Pearson. I guess that counts as Truck Series and Xfinity Series, as well as Cup Series combined. 39th here, so. Kyle Busch, of course, has almost 100 in the Xfinity Series alone. I think he's in the 90s. But anyway, let's go to the winning team, and here's what they had to say. Of course, the team owned by Smoke, he was a happy guy. at the end of that race. You got two wins with Harvick this season. Clint Bowyer's going to have to pick up the pace a little bit. Eric Amarola in the 10. He's got to get used to a few things. Of course, the only thing familiar with him is he's going from a Ford team with Petty to a Ford team with Stuart Haas. Petty's Motorsports is on Chevys. So kind of interesting. The year Petty Motorsports switches to Chevy, the Ford start dominating. I think he might should have waited. But anyway, here's the winning team.
Okay, we will start our winner press conference for today's 21st annual Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube. We're joined by the crew chief and owner of the number 4 Jimmy John's Ford for Stuart Haas Racing, and that's Rodney Childers and Tony Stewart. Tony, let's start with you. Obviously, you were very excited in victory lane, 100th win for Kevin Harvick in all three national series. Can you talk about the excitement in your camp right now?
Awesome day for sure, especially the last 2 weeks. These guys have done an awesome job, and, it just kind of feels like the last couple of years, these guys have done an awesome job. And I think the most impressive part for us is the fact that everybody thought the Fords were going to be underdogs this year, and, not only the Ford car, but all the Stuart Haas Racing cars have had speed, and Penske's had speed, and Roush has had speed. So, proud of everything that the Ford Motor Company's been doing for us. It shows their dedication to obviously the sport and this program. So proud of that, but really proud of Rodney and the Ford car guys, that not only last week and today, but just everything they've done. Just, it's nice to see Kevin and Rodney back in the form that we're used to seeing them in.
Yeah, speaking of that, Rodney, two back-to-back mile-and-a-half races that were dominated by the number 4 team. Obviously, you can't give away secrets, but what have you seen out of that 4 team that has made you so successful so far?
Like I said last week, you never know going into a season if it's going to be good or bad, or whether you're behind or you're ahead or whatever the case may be. And, I thought we would go to Atlanta and run good, but I thought we would go to Atlanta and run good because of Kevin Harvick. And, I figured we would come here and really see what we had. And, I was impressed from the first lap he made on Friday. And, he said the car drove good. It went through the bumps better than it ever has here. And just all the stuff that, it's supposed to do. And, I really think it just comes down to a lot of hard work at the shop. A lot of hard work at the engine shop with Doug Gates and his guys at Roush Yates. And like Tony said, the stuff that Ford Performance has done to try to help us out, all that stuff matters. And, I think we've done a good job as a team to focus on the details over the winter and focus on the fundamentals of racing and really just focus on our own stuff and kind of forget about the trick of the week and all the other stuff that goes around. And, this guy beside me has told me over and over since day one, I need to worry about our own stuff and focus on our own stuff. And I feel like that's what we've done, and it just says that it worked out good so far.
Thank you, Ronnie. And Kevin, you've added your name to this list, Richard Petty, Kyle Busch, and David Pearson. 100 NASCAR National Series wins. Congratulations. Maybe just talk about that milestone to open us up.
Oh, you're right here. I thought it was somebody asking a question. Yeah.
So hard to miss.
So, yeah, it's been, it's been a lot of years accumulated with a lot of great race teams and people and situations. And, you've won some that you should, you've won some that you shouldn't. And, I think when you tag that triple-digit number to it, it really lets you realize that you've been fortunate to accomplish a lot of things and do things, consistently throughout the year. So it's been fun. I think for me, the last 5 years have really been the part that have been the most fun for me, just because of the fact that, I've been able to, come into Stuart Haas Racing and Gene and Tony took a chance and said, okay, we're going to do this a long time in advance. And Rodney was convinced to come over here and be a part of this deal. So you know, I think when you look at that, it's a little bit different when you look at something that has been built from the ground up, not only from the race cars and the transporters, but with people. And for me, at this particular point, it's more fun. It's as fun. I love to win. Don't get me wrong. I love to win and love to, you know, be a part of that whole equation that comes with all these guys. And it starts with the ownership group and you know, pulling into victory lane and seeing how excited all those guys are that do everything on the race cars that I'm fortunate to just, you know, I think is one of the things that is the most exciting for me. So I'm just fortunate to be riding the wave. And you can call me old, you can call us old, but, you know, cars are fast and things are going well.
Great. There you have Kevin Harvick talking about the 100 wins and being with Stuart Haas. Anyway, out of Las Vegas, heading down to Phoenix, Arizona for the IMS Raceway. It used to be called Phoenix International, but I guess they got a new sponsor. Anyway, let's see who we looking at for this week. Of course, they have that 1 mile with a dog leg in the front. They're going to reconfigure that and move the start-finish line to the other side of the track. I guess they want a different look and feel off the turn two, I think they were saying, where the entrance to the dog leg is. So we'll have to see how that plays out. That might be an effect for either the chase race at the end of the year or the beginning of next year. They really didn't specify. I think they did specify, but we'll just have to see. Who do I like for this coming week? It remains to be seen. Harvick didn't do so good in the chase race last year, but Newman won that race. That'd be this event. So, he would be on cue for trying to get back to that, but we'll have to wait and see. Larson was second. Kyle Busch was third. Kyle Busch did lead the most laps in this event last year. Now, as far as the chase race, it was Kenseth, who led 62 laps. Denny Hamlin led the most laps, but he wound up in an accident. He led three times for 193 laps. So it's looking Toyota-ish this weekend. Of course, Chase Elliott was second. Kenseth, who won, was the second biggest leader. He only led twice for 62 laps. And Chase Elliott led three times for 34 laps. The only other lap leader was Kyle Larson, who had a motor let go. He led once for 12 laps and wound up finishing dead last. So who do I like? Going by what I see, and Truex was third, didn't lead any laps. This is not a mile and a half. And Harvick didn't lead any laps as well. Who's your stage winner? Hamlin took stage one, two. Larson took stage one. So that being said, it's looking Toyota-ish for me. Race one, Kyle Busch. Harvick was sixth, but I don't think he's going to do it as well. Kenseth, of course, is not in the car this year. It's said, so we don't have to worry about that. Eric Jones is. And I think Ryan Newman got lucky last year. I guess the one constant in all of this would be Kyle Busch. He finished eighth last year. So I'm going to go with Kyle. I think he's hungry. I think he needs a win, wants a win as well. All right. So we're going to go with Kyle Busch this week at Phoenix. Hope you all enjoyed the show. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.